Hey guys, what's going on? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here at the War Memorial in Nashville, Tennessee with Lee from Bring Me the Horizon. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Good.
Cool. Thanks for joining us today and talking about some gear.
Cheers, man.
What do you got that you'd like to show us? What do you got?
I'll show you this Explorer that I've been using pretty much as my main guitar this whole tour.
So this is your number one right now?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. Like, I use it for the stuff tuned to a C standard, so it sounds like really heavy and stuff, so it just suits that well.
Cool. Just yeah, what gauges are you playing here? It looks pretty fat.
Use an 80 to 12. 80 to 12, yeah. And then just swap the pickups for a bare knuckle war pig and a lace nitro hemi, so they sound really big and thick.
Yeah, nice.
It's
yeah,
good, that's beautiful. Good guitar, though. Pretty solid.
Cool. And you've got a new signature model coming out, too, right? Let's take a look at that bad boy.
Yeah, so Epiphone have been nice enough to build me a signature, so kind of let me do whatever I wanted and just
so
send them some drawings.
Well, you gave them the specs and told them this is what I want, huh?
Just chose all like the colors and the weight and neck and stuff, and I know it turned out pretty nice. Got a Gibson P90 in the neck. Then this is like a pickup they made for me. Like I sent, like told them what I was into, and they like built this pickup, and it sounds really
so
good.
They coiled that specifically for the tone you were looking
for? Yeah, they modded an old pickup they had or something like that, but
cool.
Sounds really good. It's got like coil tap and stuff.
Oh, nice. Are you playing this pretty often, or?
Yeah, I play this like a couple of songs in the set. That went wrong, didn't it?
It's okay. It happens, man. The inlay is super rad. It's a beautiful guitar.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really nice. I think it turned out pretty well, the inlays and shit.
That's great. Yeah. So you have quite a number of guitars in this boat, huh?
Yeah.
Do you play them all live, or are they backups, or?
I play.
No worries.
I play like most of them apart from this. I only got this the other day off Craigslist off some old guy. But I'm trying to bring that in. It's just we just need to have a look at it. But everything else, I play for a couple of songs. Like got some weird old Gibsons like the Victory and
let's
stuff.
Let's take a look at that. That headstock is cool.
Pretty much just try and find stuff on eBay that
isn't too
common.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
but it's like Seymour Duncan in there.
Yeah, it's the Dime Booker. Put that in there, and it sounds really fat as well.
That's awesome. But that's really cool. Do you like the neck on that? It's a little different.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's pretty thick. Just like it feels more like a Strat, I'd say, but it's still like
shreddable.
It's a really cool guitar. Yeah,
very, very cool. Well, hey man, thanks so much for taking the time to talk about some guitars with us, and we're gonna hit your tech up real quick and talk about the rest of your pedal chain.
But
have a great show. Thanks a lot, man. Hey guys, what's going on? I'm here with Dean Robotham. Did I say it right?
You said it right.
Okay, cool. And he's going to talk about some more of Lee's guitars with us and then explain the amp setup and the pedal board. So Lee talked to us about his number one guitar and also his signature.
Yeah.
But I guess you guys have a couple others in the boat that you play.
Yeah, we have a bunch. I mean, Lee's in the habit of sort of buying guitars quite a bit. He's a bit, it's kind of funny, you know, we work well together because we're both sort of old Gibson fans, you know, so, and they work really well for their sound, obviously, with the 80 gauge on the bottom kind of thing. Having like a big thick neck is kind of really important, so, you know, Stratocasters and stuff like that wouldn't really sort of cut it, so.
Cool.
So yeah, he just picked this up. It's a Gibson Victory, 1987. I believe they only made maybe 3,000 of them. I'm sure there's a bunch of people are going to correct me on that, but I don't think there are a lot of them made. But it's just a really nice, solid guitar. It's a, you know, Stratocaster, I guess, esque shape, but with the thickness of a Les Paul. It's got a real, real thick sort of 50s style Les Paul neck on it as well. When he bought this guitar, we pretty much had to do nothing to it to get it sounding really good. We put a Seymour Duncan Dime Booker in just to sort of fatten it up on the low end of stuff. Got the 80 gauge on the bottom here. And then other than that, it's stock. We have a coil tap on there, which kind of stays off most of the time. And then I do a little trick I use Pelly pick and pluck foam. A lot of people use like tape or like a rubber band or
something. Cut down on the buzz?
It's the honk. It gets rid of the honk. So that kind of like that joop whoop, mm-hmm. that kind of whoop noise you get.
That's a cool trick.
Yeah, it's cool. And with this being such a high gain setup, a lot of people, they'll put like two noise gates in the fucking effects loop and stuff like that. We try and keep like the signal chain as clean as we possibly can. You know, if I could have him on a cable, I definitely would do. But you know, obviously with he's got to perform as well, sure, as play guitar. So it's a great guitar. I think he bought this for like $500. So you know, you can pick these up. You know, S1s, Marauders, Gibson. You know, between $500 to $700, depending on the condition. And you know, you get yourself a fucking great guitar for not very much money.
Very interesting and different, yeah, for sure, man. I like it a lot.
So this is working really well for us. And then Gibson, we got a Gibson Supreme. This is a loan stock, actually. They just gave him this to try out before we came out. This is kind of Lee's again.
Standard. Holy fat.
Yeah, it's real fat again, 50s neck. With it being a loaner guitar, I guess it went through a bunch of bands before it got to us, so I had to do a few things there. I put some bone saddles, bone nut on this. It's had a refret, just kind of been jazzed up a little bit. But this is a really nice guitar.
Also a bare knuckles?
Yeah, this is a bare knuckle war pig, which is what Lee's the last record, There Is a Hell and Suicide Season, was all using a bare knuckle war pig. That's kind of like his core tone. I think it's the heaviest, like the most output pickup that they do.
And it's not active, right?
No, it's all passive. Nah. We were back in the day when he was using Ibanez, like on the first record, when obviously the band's sound was a lot more sort of...
A little more metal, yeah.
You know, chuggy metal. It worked for that for a little while with the Ibanezes, but then when we went over to First Act, and then Gibson First Act actually... you know, we worked out a deal with Gibson anyway, and they started sending us this. So, but this pickup, I mean, in my personal opinion, this, you know, a humbucker's a humbucker, you know what I mean? And the vast majority of the tone and the sound is going to come from your fingers. After that, the neck is a huge part to do with it. The pickup itself is, you know, you could probably, you know, we could probably dial in that tone with a variety of pickups, a JB or a PAF or whatever, but the war pig just gives you that extra, it's just a little extra, it's the mid-range that they've got right on that, you know what I mean? It's like...
So scooped?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it gives you the full dynamic range.
And a lot of these like active pickups, they're like super high output, but it's high end. It's not, a lot of the time it's not high, low end, it's just... Right. You know, for our sound anyway, everybody's different, you know, everybody's into different things, but this is working really well for us at the moment. So he plays a couple of songs. This is tuned to C standard, as is the Victory and the Explorer. And then for the A sharp stuff, which is, we got Diamonds and Shadow Moses and a few other songs, we're using this at the moment, which is just a... This was the first guitar they sent to him, actually, Gibson. This is a Les Paul Traditional. Again, messed around with the pickups a little bit, what we got in here. So this is a Lace drop and gain. The guys at Lace have been really good as well. It's just like, we hit them up once and they sent us a bunch of pickups.
Noticed you've got a couple of Lace pickups in there, really.
Shameless plug there.
But, who cares?
But yeah, again, like between bare knuckle and Lace, that's pretty much what we're using now. And the stock Gibson pickups as well are fantastic. So any guitar that has, you know, this 80 gauge string on, again, with the, just use the pick and pluck foam, trim it to size, put it there and a couple of pieces there, and it's just, you know, I mean, I haven't even changed. I usually put a Tone Pro Tunematic bridges on it, just because
so you can lock.
So you can lock it, but also having the graphite saddles and the bone saddles is a real plus for us. And again, you know, with the 80 gauge string, it's it took me a couple of years to, you know, work out how to keep it perfectly in tune. I adjust the truss rod on this thing like every three or four days. Yeah.
Now, are you guys traveling back and forth to Europe with these same?
Yeah. Guitars. So, I mean, obviously, I have this lovely, lovely thing now. After a few years, we've upgraded some of the gear and stuff, but we just travel. We just use the Scott Dixon Flying Scott cases. So we do three guitars in one of them. So we travel with our pedal boards and our guitars, but then we have an A, B, and a C rig. So we have the A rig in the UK, the B rig over here, and then we have a C rig, which is kind of a condensed version that we freight around and stuff. So
let's talk about these 800s.
Yeah, I mean, not much to tell you. I mean, the thing is that priority for me is to dial in the cleanest sound possible. You know what I mean? This is what he used on the record. I think he used the Vox AC30 for his clean, and 800 for his heavy tone. So it kind of made sense that we'd use them out on the road.
Sure.
We were using Rocker Verbs for a really long time. It's a great amp, great clean channel, great heavy channel. But we found with the 800, we were getting a much sort of bolder, bass heavy sound, which is, you know, very important. Again, with that 80 gauge string
better
on the
chug.
Bottom, tune to C and A sharp. A couple of songs are tuned to G as well. So,
are you using tube distortion, or are you just clean signal into
no,
the pedals?
No, we have to drive this, so we're driving it with a couple of pedals, which I'll show you in a sec. But
sure.
Yeah, I mean, so we have the clean amp and the heavy amp. The clean up on the top. We have the preamp gain backed off to about 8 o'clock. The master's on about 6, and then we have the bass on full on both heads, and then the middle and the treble are kind of sort of sitting around the middle, as is the presence. And then we drive that with, we just changed it out. We're using the chicken soup overdrive now, but the OCD full tone or, you know, those kind of pedals would just kind of drive it well. But again, we were mixing and matching before. We were using the orange for the clean and the 800 for the heavy. And then, I don't know, I think it was just, for their sound right now, what they're doing at their new record, it's just they're just flawless.
This like is doing the trick.
We've
huh?
had these amps for we took these on Warped Tour for 7 weeks, and they were just flawless. They never break.
Are they bone stock?
They're bone stock. I've messed around, adjusted a couple of caps on the bias, and it runs a little hotter than normal. So usually they run about 34, 35. These run about 39, 40. So you go through tubes a little bit quicker, but it just gives you a little bit more juice. You know? I don't know if that's a technical term.
A little more zip.
Yeah. And then on the heavy amp, we have the preamp on full, the master's cranked. And we use two different overdrives, for one for the clean out, one for the heavy. So we split it at the pedal board side. But for a long time, we were using like a bunch of different rack stuff. We had the GCX, we had all the pedals rack mounted. We were using radial switching systems, and you know, it was just kind of every sort of three or four shows, there'd be something ever so slight that got a weird noise or a pop or
it's
a hiss
lot of
or
variables,
something,
and for sure.
Maybe it was just my shitty soldering, I don't know, but it was what I've found has been my most important lesson I've learned in doing this for as long as I have, is that you want to try and keep your signal path as short as you possibly can, and especially in a band where they're using a lot of effects and stuff like that. You know, we found that the GCX is great when you have all the pedals rack mounted and everything, but that's assuming that you could fly this, you know, and you can't really turn up to the airport and fly this. So whenever we'd do a US tour and then we'd fly to Australia or something like that, I'd have to rip all the pedals out of the rack, I'd have to repatch everything, we'd use a different type of controller. And then, so we've just kind of gone back to 5 years ago when just having all the pedals on the floor again and using a really, really high quality switching system. So cool. Out of the switching system, that also, we just use there's 8 effects loops built into it, and the output 7 and the output 8. I just send 7 to the clean and 8 to the heavy. So it's the last, you know, it's the last thing in the chain. And it just works really well. You know, it's probably not the most orthodox way of doing it, but for us, it's just, you know, it's never sounded as good as it has since we just stripped it back. I have a patch bay in the back, and I also have a little junction box on the pedal board with a line driver built in that I made, that just means that if I have to use a 50 or 60 foot loom for, you know, Leeds and Reading download festivals, those kind of places where you got along, you get no signal loss.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. And then other than that, we're using the Shure URF 4D Pluses, which is by far, again, personal opinion, by far the best wireless system anybody is making. Yeah, yeah, it's a dual receiver as well, into one U system, and these things. I haven't had a dropout for 3.5 years. You know.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They're just incredible. Yeah. So yeah, we just use a standard. The guys at Ernie Ball, let me just say as well, for the last 4.5 years, they've just, every single thing we ask for, they just send it.
Take care of you.
They don't even charge a shipping, you know, to the UK. They freight everything to us.
12256.
They're great. So yeah, it's a 12. So it's a 44, 32, 24 plane, and 16 and 12. I just get rid of the 56, and then we replace it with an 80 custom gauge set, which this was actually back in the day. They didn't make these, so I used to have to drill out like a, I don't know, like a 5mm hole in the back of the guitar
to
fit a bass string in, because that's the only one that would fit, rather than having the ball end hanging out. And we were ordering so many of the things, like Derek at Ernie Ball was just like, fuck it, we're just going to start making them. So, but I think, you know, there are quite a few bands at the time, but now especially, like, there's so much like drop tune, like heavy music around in the world, you know. It's, I think, I'm sure they're selling
that's handy.
A bunch
I bet
of these,
you'll
but, yeah, they're great, you know. I mean, on his main guitar, Explorer, I change them out every day because he plays really hard, you know. So yeah, cool. But I mean, everything we use, man, is pretty standard, you know. There's no gimmicks or tricks, you know what I mean? Like, we travel with our own monitor system, so if you want it loud, we crank it through those instead of,
so you don't
like,
have
you
to
know,
depend on
have
how
20
sound,
guitar right. cabs or whatever, you know.
Very,
it's
very
like,
cool.
It's nice and simple.
So we've brought the pedal board over here because they're setting up on stage right now, and Dean's going to kind of walk us through all of the pedals on the board, so take it away, man.
Yeah, I mean, how do you want me to start with the signal path, I guess?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it starts off with this, we've got this Bedford junction box.
A Bedford junction box?
Yeah, so it's a shop I have in the UK. We make sort of pedal boards. And
so you make this?
Junction. Yeah, this is one I did. This is a Pro Pelly pedal board that's coming out later in the year. Everything, it's great being in this job, you know, because I can sort of prototype stuff, and I'm like, hey, try this, and he'll be like, oh, it sounds great, oh, this sounds shit, you know, and he's very honest as well, which is good, so
that is cool.
He's not scared to hurt my feelings, which is nice. I like that about him, but...
honesty is best policy.
It definitely is. So again, dead simple, the wireless comes into here, then it goes out of there, we go straight into the Cathedral. Now, the Cathedral is the only effects pedal on this entire thing that's in the line of the signal. So everything else runs into a loop via the controller, which I'll go back to in a second. But the wireless comes into here, into the Cathedral. I don't know why, but for some reason, we use this purely as a reverse reverb. It has this really nice sort of escalating sort of, he uses this predominantly on clean. So it's really nice for sort of swelling in and, you know, nice sort of sounds. He does a lot of volume rolls with it. For some reason, it just works loads better in the front, which is why it's not in a loop. And so, yeah, so we go, so the wireless comes in, into here, out of there, into this controller. Now, this is an ARC3, which is made by Free the Tone. They're a Japanese company. A guy called Yuki, used to be the chief engineer at Providence FX in Japan, I guess he... set up his own company about a couple of years ago, and he sent the one of the prototypes to me to try, which is great. The ARC3, that was it's like a silver one, and it had no writing on it or anything. He was just like, you know, let me know what you think. Yeah, and I loved it. And obviously, there is, especially, you know, 2014. There's so many controllers on the market, so finding one that works for you is a bit of a task. Like I was saying earlier, we used to use the Ground Control Pro, which is a great unit. We used it, we never had any problems with it, but it kind of depends on, you have to sort of run it with the GCXX or a similar MIDI function controller. So when all the effects were in the rack, the Ground Control was the one for us. But since what I was saying, we do bring me a big band sort of internationally, so we do, you know, 9 months of the year we're on the road, and that involves a lot of flying into, you know, places like Asia and stuff like that, where if you try and spec a Voodoo Lab equipment, you're lucky to get a Marshall head in some places. So the Free the Tone for us has just been, for me especially, has been a lifesaver.
So what's controlling all the pedals with the
exception
of the
Cathedral? Yeah, so it this kind of thing kind of looks like a spaceship, you know what I mean? But it's so simple the way it works. Other than, like I say, this, imagine my way of thinking is I want to make the pickup as close to that amplifier as it possibly can be. So everything else in between, what a lot of people, you know, when I first started making pedal boards, you know, you get your pedal, you put a patch cable, and then you get your next pedal, and so on and so on and so on. And every time you put a pedal in, especially depending on what pedal it is, whether it's true bypass or not, I mean, the whole true bypass thing is a different conversation anyway. But the process to go through, a lot of pedals have buffers built into them, a lot of these digital effects and stuff. So you have to sort of sacrifice a lot of your sound a lot of the time. Now, the Free the Tone, is effectively you're going into here and out of there with nothing in between. And then all of the pedals go in individually into their own loop. So, it's direct. So in the back of here, there are 8 effects loops. So you have an input and an output on each one, and then a send and return for each loop. So each loop has 2 ins and 2 outs. You have the main input, the main output, and then you have a send and return in the middle. And then what that allows you to do is to switch in certain effects. So if you look on the green strip here, these are the programmed effects. So for example, these 3 here are his clean sounds, and these 3 here are his heavy sounds. So in one switch, I can go from, again, the white labels here are what pedals are plugged into it. So the DA2, actually we were using the Boss Adaptive Distortion at the start of the tour. We're using the Rocket Audio Chicken Soup now, which is in there. But so we have all the overdrives in the front of the chain, all the digital effects at the back of the chain. So the Chicken Soup, the OCD, the DD20 delay, which is we use that for predetermined tap tempos. So because the band play to a click, it's really nice to have. You know, you can dial it in and you go, oh, what was it on the record?
Yeah,
so it's the exact same beat, you know what I mean? So if he plays it wrong, then it's on him, you know what I mean? It's just like the beat is like always going to be the same with that. But we also have the DD7 delay, which allows him to manipulate it live, and we use that as a tap tempo. So you kind of have the best of the both worlds. RV5 reverb, great pedal, classic, great all-round pedal. We always have that set to modulation, which is kind of a nice sort of synthy reverb.
Surreal kind of.
Yeah. And we, you know, a lot of bands like Cave-In and Isis and those kind of big epic-y kind of bands, that's what they use for to get that sort of really big sort of clean sound. But yeah, just coming back to this, I mean, it just makes everything really simple. You have a master tuner switch here, so the tuner output goes to there. So no signals lost even getting to the tuner. That's just a direct output from this. So we use the effects loops 1 through 6 for the effects, and then 7 and 8 are my outputs for the 2 amplifiers. So for example, we have the Chicken Soup, the OCD, the DD20, the RV5, the DD7, and the NS2. Still using the NS2. A lot of people don't like them. For us, it's a flawless noise suppressor. You can buy them for like $60.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
They're fucking great. You know what I mean? You know, it's, excuse my language. But yeah, they're really good. And then if you see the white labels here, and then loop 7 is the clean channel, and loop 8 is the heavy channel. And when I say channel, it's the amplifier.
The actual amplifier.
So that routes through to the clean amp, and then this routes through to the gain amp. So in theory, I could have both heads running into both cabs at the same time, but we don't. We just split it. So we have a dedicated clean cab and a dedicated heavy cab.
Is it easier to mix?
It's easier to mix. Your microphones, you haven't got to mess about with, you know, we've tried just about everything. We've tried isolation cabs. We've not gone as far down the road as doing the whole digital Axe FX thing. That for Lee is never going to work.
Yeah.
You know, he needs valve amplifiers, you know, to get that sound. I don't care what anybody says. But it's this thing is, it's an absolute pleasure to work with. And they're just about to bring out a smaller version of it, which has got 4 switches, 4 true bypass effects loop, and it also has a closed circuit on the 4th loop, which means that if you had, say, for example, you had a Rocoverb 100 or an amp with 2 channels built into it, you can actually switch the channels within the amplifier via this as well. So, and it's real simple to use. We're in program mode at the moment when you get a blue LED. If you turn it into direct mode, these basically just become on-off switches for your pedals. So that shows us here that the DA2 is on, which is the Chicken Soup actually now, the NS2, the noise suppressor, and then it's routed to the gain head. If we go back to, so that's his main sound. If we go to this switch, for example, which is his gain head, but it's got loads of effects on it, we switch back out. That tells us that we've got the Chicken Soup overdrive, but we've switched in the reverb, the delay, and we're still running on the gain head.
But to show you what this thing really is capable of, so imagine you had all those effects, but you didn't have a switching system. So if you want to go from a really heavy sound with loads of delay, loads of reverb, and the noise suppressor on, for example, you want it to switch to a clean sound with no effects, it would be a minimum of 5 switches.
Click, 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 click.
You'd be doing all those kind of dancing. You literally go like that, and it's done.
It's like a preset.
Yeah, you just do one switch. So that, again, there are a lot of companies out there making switching systems. Well, I've by no means tried them all, but the Free the Tone one is certainly the best one. Internally as well, I've opened this thing up, not because I've had to fix it, I'm just kind of intrigued and I want to see how it's wired. I mean, the wiring is just insane. It's just like it's like the neatest thing I've ever seen, So we're very much sort of an advocate of kind of mixing a traditional, heavy weighted old school guitar with a really good, clean valve head, and then integrating the digital effects with that, rather than doing everything analog, it's the same way. If we were just using this head and we had nothing driving it, that wouldn't work either. So we have to, it's a process, of going through different things. And then, so we were doing the signal path, so the wireless comes in, it goes through there, then we come out of here, back to here, and there's two outputs, one for the clean, one for the heavy, which both go into there. And then I just have a loom that I've made with just 3 mono jacks on the end. We have the power there as well. And these 3 just go back into the patch bay, and one goes into the wireless, and 2 go into the heads, and that's it.
Pretty simple. Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Well, man, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking your time to talk to us about this
stuff. To meet you.
Hey, man, I hope you guys have a great show.
Cheers.
And appreciate the time.
Yeah, nice one. All right, cool. Mate. Thanks.
Perry with Premier Guitar, signing off.